Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
And I want to thank you for joining me today. It's going to be an exciting show. I'm with a friend of mine, a fellow Hay House author. We're going to be talking about The Body Knows, How to Stay Young. She's a fellow medical intuitive. I have Caroline Sutherland on the line and being a part of today's show. I know that I've certainly, as a medical intuitive, admired her work. And, you know, I kind of refer to her work in many, many ways. But I'll tell you, I have not met anyone that is more masterful at working with issues around candida than Caroline. So she's going to be sharing a lot of information from her new book, The Body Knows, How to Stay Young, Healthy Aging Secrets from a Medical Intuitive. And she's been sharing a lot of information over the course of all of her work on how we can stay healthy, how we can stay young. She's going to also be sharing with you today some of the four keys to vibrant aging. I'm sure that all of us are looking for things like that. So I was very excited when she said she would join me. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She has a vast clinical background as an allergy testing technician in the environmental medicine. And that's really where her intuitive gifts developed. She was raised in a medical family. Her mother was a dietitian, and her father and grandfather were both medical doctors. As a child, she had that blueprint of a family lineage around trying to figure out what's happening and what's making us work. And then also the interaction with her parents and the way they looked at life really helped her plant the seeds for her future as a medical intuitive. For the past 23 years, she's lectured internationally on the subject, and also her intuitive impressions have positively affected the lives of more than 100,000 people. I don't know all 100,000, but I can tell you from the people that I have sent to Caroline to talk to them about her health issues, I get absolutely rave reviews of the work that she's done and how she's so no-nonsense. And I'm not sure what that really means, because I know both of us approach it that way. But she really has a very good handle on the things that you can do and how you can change your habits, change your life, change your diet, change the way that you look at food, and just rave reviews. She's the founder of Sutherland Communications, which offers medical intuitive training programs. In fact, she's got one coming up October 16th, 17th, and 18th. We're going to be talking about that a little bit more in the show. And then also she has weight loss programs and consultation services for both adults and children. When I first met Caroline, it was at an I Can Do It with Hay House. And when she walked in, I just thought, oh my gosh, look at how vibrant she is and healthy. And then over the course of the time, I heard her age, which really isn't that important, except when I'm close to that age myself. And I thought, oh my gosh, I need to know what she's doing and what she has. So I know you're going to enjoy the show and what she's going to be sharing with you. So, Caroline, thanks for joining me today.
It's wonderful to be with you, Carol. Thanks so much. You approach medical intuition from the personality standpoint and the psychological standpoint, and I like to kind of, you know, dig in there on the physical and see what's going on, and for that nice reference in the beginning.
Well, you are so welcome. We have with each other is that, you know, the way that we can look at it from the different directions. We really, and no matter how far you go or I go, we really can give people a real comprehensive or holistic perspective of what's going on in their body so they can look at all the concerns. And then once they have that and then are provided the tools and the, you know, kind of the guidance, not telling them what to do, I think it makes a great big difference, doesn't it?
It sure does. But then, of course, you know, I'm very medical. My father was a medical doctor, and so was my grandfather. So I have that perspective as well. And, you know, you know as well as I do that it's a marriage of many different practitioners, many different modalities, and then, of course, doing the deep work, which is uncovering the layers of the emotional onion and getting really down to what's at the root of a lot of this sort of thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, but we do have to, when our body is crying out for help or out of balance or, you know, we just can't seem to feel good in our body, you know, we really do have to start there, because otherwise the mind's going to fixate on it. It's not going to give us the freedom of thinking to be able to even go any deeper. And that's really, again, a lot of where your work is. So But I know with your background from the medicine standpoint, you've certainly, and that your mom being a dietitian, you've really been able to see really both sides of the fence, haven't you?
Yeah, that was a big step for me, though. You know, when I started doing this work, I'm not sure, you know, how much people know, but basically I was an allergy testing technician for many years for medical doctors and naturopathic physicians. And believe me, to step out of that mode of doing allergy testing in private clinics to getting out and talking about it, that was a big leap, because in my family, you know, the doctor was always God, and, mm-hmm. you know, the doctor was the only one that knew anything about the body and how to heal that body. Well, we know that's very different now, that the, you know, the physician is within each one of us, and we need to mobilize that. And any doctor, naturopathic physician, or holistic practitioner is always a partner in our healing, and that they are not the, you know, the only part of it. So that was a big leap for me to leave that kind of conditioning behind as I was raised, and go out there and talk about the body and its phenomenal capacity to repair, and how could we mobilize that repair capacity.
Absolutely.
So that was really something.
Yeah, a big leap of faith, wasn't it? But again, the times that we've had the opportunity to share with each other and talk, you know, it's that weaver part of you, it's that integrative part of who you are that has the ability to really look at the whole picture and to realize that, you know, physicians certainly have their place, medical intuitives have their place, mm-hmm. healing modalities do, but the most important element in all of this is the fact that we've got to, as individuals, participate in our own healing, don't we?
Absolutely. But, you know, I find that it's not mysterious. You know, the body does know, and if we can find the tools, you know, be it through a practitioner or through our own inner guidance, to unlock those keys to what the body does know, you know, the thing is that it just happens so quickly, and it's really very revealing and very, very exciting. And it was interesting, we were watching a little clip of a movie this morning that Gary and I are considering using as an adjunct to our medical intuitive training. And it's so very true. It's about food. It's about the food of the mind. In other words, what we supply the mind with in mm-hmm. terms of affirmations and thoughts. And it's what we supply the body with in terms of food that's going to make the most difference. People think that this is something that they have to, you know, spend a lot of money on and go across the land or, you know, to another country.
Absolutely, or it's going to take months and years, and it's going to be so hard at everything, huh?
No,
it's not.
It's so simple. I love it. You know, that body knows what to do. It'll start turning around within 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I see it every time. And, you know, you talked about Candida yeast. You know, it's no mystery that they call me the yeast queen of the Western world. But, you know, that Candida yeast, and here's what's interesting. We just did the Hay House cruise, and I did mini readings on that cruise during the week. And on that cruise, there was one person, only one, who was not dealing with the Candida yeast syndrome. It comes to me by a scent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sweet, sickly smell that wafts right off the body. And as soon as I smell that, I know that person is, to use a phrase, going down. What does that mean, going down? They have no energy. They're craving starches. They're craving sugars. They've got foggy thinking. They've got no vitality. They've got no stamina, so they're going down. But there was only one woman, only one, on that whole cruise. Now, what's interesting is that this is the third person, only the third, since 2004, that I have not detected an overgrowth of Candida in a person. Only the third person. That's three people.
Isn't that
2004.
Amazing?
We are now at 2009,
yeah.
And that's 5 years of doing, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of readings in different cities over the years. Only three are not dealing with Candida yeast.
And that has a lot to do with what, diet? We know that that's most
yeah.
of it, you and I.
It's largely diet, and it's largely the overuse of antibiotics. And then, of course, antibiotics are through the food chain, so everyone's getting antibiotics
absolutely.
Every single day of the week. But that knocks out the lower colon flora and throws that off. And then when this yeast gets a foothold, of course, if you think of making bread, you know, in order to make that the bread yeast actually rise up, you have to give it sugar. So when people are dealing with Candida yeast at the gut level, then all they want is starch and sugar. And this is the huge, big piece that people are missing. Yeast, you know, candida yeast used to be considered, say, a yuppie disease or a yuppie syndrome of the 1980s, you know, the early 1980s. Well, you know what? It's just as common and just as prevalent and just as important to take care of now in the 2000s as it was 20 years ago. So it's very big, and when people get it under control, which is simple, they feel so much better. The energy comes just flying right back, and they feel, you know, 10 pounds, you know, 20 pounds lighter and 10 years younger, and they feel fabulous. And yet it's a very big missing piece from most either conventional Western medical practices or holistic even practices.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it does, like you said, it just drains the vitality right out of you. And, you know, so many of us, I thought it, when I asked for some input as far as where we were going to go today, one of the things that just kind of stuck out on the piece of paper that you sent me is every 8 seconds, someone in the United States is turning 50.
Yeah.
And you look at that, and then you look at the quality of the food and the way that we eat and, you know, the stress and the emotionalism and all the things we're talking about, you know, I can certainly understand why the numbers of the people that didn't have candida is so few. And it does. It affects so much of our skin's ability to age function, you know, properly or to keep us young and vital. And so I've just always found your work around that very, very important. But, you know, you're so much more than just that because of all the rest of your background with it. And, you know, and I, of course, I have your book. And if any of you as my listeners don't have The Body Knows How to Stay Young, absolutely, I recommend it. But then also Caroline's first book is Your Body Knows, and then you have a cookbook. Isn't that correct?
We've got The Body Knows Cookbook, The Body Knows Diet Book, The Body Knows About Hormones, as a lot of body knows. And my next book, and I'm not going to tell you the title, is going to be pretty much a spiritual book.
Oh,
so
that's fabulous. So you're just going to kind of cover all the gamuts with us so we can keep coming back to that same mantra, your body knows. When you give it what it's lacking, it knows how to repair itself. So very exciting. So if any of you are not familiar with Caroline's work or you don't have any of her books, I certainly recommend that you go to hayhouse.com and purchase them. I know that they're on Amazon.com, but they are certainly worth a read because I will tell you, personally, I know from my own experiences, it literally will change the way you look at your body, change the way you look at your lifestyle, and so forth. So this aging process is something as more of us boomers are, you know, kind of reaching that place, and some of us as older boomers or like myself, you know, we're kind of into the throes of all this change and everything, and this book is really very helpful. So why don't you tell us just a little bit about the book itself?
Well, yes, absolutely. I loved writing that book. I started writing that book when I was in my early 60s. I'm 65 now and have, you know, boundless energy and I think, you know, very good physical strength and stamina. I still have my waistline, which not everybody over the age of 60 can say they have.
This is true.
But just to go back to candida yeast and how that affects aging, you see, yeast on a metaphysical level really represents the death process. So it's a breakdown, death, and decay in that human being. And so that is fed by the overconsumption of starch and sugar. So if we want to allay that death process, the breakdown process, we don't want to encourage it by the overuse of starch and sugar. So I just wanted to make sure I finished that off.
Good.
And talked about yeast and how it does affect aging. Now, if you take it one step further, and if you go to a nursing home or retirement home, and you open the door, you're met with two scents. There are two smells that you will, you know, immediately be aware of. One is the scent of yeast, and the other is the scent of urine. And both of those are interrelated. So people that, you know, are dealing with Alzheimer's, you know, are dealing with candida yeast in a very high overgrowth level. And also, when you look at people with bladder problems, urinary frequency, you know, this PP issue that's happening and they're wearing Depends and all these kind of, you know, slapping on these you know, panties and that kind of thing that are kind of like adult diapers. And the issue with the bladder frequency is very yeast-related. So it really behooves us much, much younger in life when we've got listeners now listening in their, you know, 20s, 30s, and 40s and beyond on your show to say, you know what, I've got to get at this yeast. And they can, you know, come on to my website and go into teleconferences and find out individually what to do, but at least to address it, you know, say, you know what, there's something to this and I've got to do it. So the acceleration of the death and breakdown and aging process is actually very exacerbated by sugar, because sugar weakens cell walls and accelerates the breakdown and proliferation of damaged tissue. So we want to move into cellular repair and regeneration. How do we do that? By minimizing sugar. So, and starches. I would include starch the same way. So when you think of stopping body breakdown, your biggest one, which is, you know, for some people, oh my God, you know, you think I'm going to be able to stop sugar? Well, you know what's so cool is you say, what's the highest motivation? Now, your show, of course, is about motivation. It's about personal self-direction and moving more into spirit and purpose than it is really to sort of be willy-nilly tarrying in this earthly existence and not focusing on what we're really here to do. So the whole issue is we do not want to have an early diagnosis of something like cancer. So if we look at cancer and we say, oh, isn't that interesting? Cancer cells are glucose-supported, so that it requires sugar to proliferate cancer cells, and they do that in a lab. They actually give them a glucose injection on those cancer cells to try and get them, never mind try, they will proliferate and grow very easily in a solution that is glucose-related. So cancer cells are glucose-supported, which means that if anyone has any fast-growing cells in their body and they're having a lot of sugar, then they're potentially feeding cancer cells. So that's the highest motivation, because we want to stay on the planet. We want to do what is our sort of mission or higher purpose, our job, the creative work that we were selected to do, like you and I. Mm-hmm. Our creative work is to write and to, you know, to encourage others and to, spread our particular healing message. And, we're communicators, so that's our purpose. We're on purpose. There's no issue about that. But what we want to do is stay alive, stay healthy, stay strong, so that we can complete our mission and our purpose before we cycle out when the time is, you know, preordained and destined, you know, whatever time that is. But you look at the people, Carol, and it's unbelievable now, the numbers of people that are having these very serious diagnoses. So the way to stay away from a cancer diagnosis, or one of the ways, is to minimize those sugars, get them well down, and that's the highest motivation. Another thing that we have on our website that I've developed along with a lab in Utah are some appetite suppressant drops that actually block the desire to overeat and really control sugar craving. And there's a special button on my website called 6 Easy Solutions, and that really, they just touch that and they can look down and find those appetite suppressant drops called Apatrol, and they're very helpful for this particular short window, like a month, 6 weeks, while people are sort of settling down this craving mechanism, getting their yeast under control. They need a little crutch, they need a little something, and so I developed those Apatrol drops, and they've been very helpful. So the breakdown of the body is important to understand. So, and that sugar is a big piece. Do you want me to keep going with that?
Oh, absolutely. But and one of the things I'd like also sure. is absolutely because, you know, from my perspective as a medical intuitive, yeast is we're eating ourselves up.
Yes.
And that's the metaphor. And when you do that, you need a lot of energy, and that's a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
So absolutely. But one of the things I definitely want you to do, and please keep going, is, you know, please tell us right now, how can we go to your website?
Oh, you're so sweet. Okay, Caroline, Caroline, Caroline Sutherland, Sutherland.com. CarolineSutherland.com.
And very, very simple. So all of you as listeners, please hear what we're saying about this, because of the fact that, you know, Caroline does have these different things for you. I'm going to jump in real quick and add to what you said is, and then we'll go back into what you were talking about from the standpoint that there's a new kind of a remedy or a process they're using to be able to deal specifically with breast cancer and their vitamin C drips. And I found it interesting when I was working with doctors, is that what they do is the saline solution they use to put the vitamin C in is glucose.
Yes.
And it's like these little cells that are all, you know, these little precancerous or cancerous cells. They're like these little baby birds.
Yeah, they'll open up. You
they can smell it a mile away. They open up and they say, you know, they're all clamoring, mine, mine, mine.
Yep. That and then
saline,
they take it.
Yep, saline solution goes in there. They open their mouths. The cells open up. Gets inside the vitamin C, which is alkaline, even though we think it is acidic. Alkaline comes in and it neutralizes the cell. So
exactly.
there is a real, you know, indicator of what you're talking about is that, you know, our body needs the glucose for the cells to have the vitality, but there's a delicate balance that, you know, we can need only so much, and we really are very, you know, sugar and carbohydrate heavy in our diets and everything. So, excuse me, thanks for letting me jump in. I wanted to be sure that they got your website, and then also, so let's talk more about the sugar dynamics.
Yeah, so the sugar would be a big part of the food part. So, you know, these are things that people need to consider. But again, we always go to the higher. The higher reason is to stay on the planet, complete our mission and purpose. So there's always a higher motivation. The second one, I would say coffee is a very big ager. And what that does is it wrinkles the skin for sure, changes the heart rate, you know, hardens the prostate and triggers bladder issues. But what it does is it changes the electromagnetic field. You know, some people call it the aura. I call it the field. It changes the quality of the field, and it puts a vibration or an energy of anger and irritation into the field. And that's why I really encourage people to, you know, move on to some other type of beverage like herbal tea or water. Once in a while, have some decaf. There's nothing wrong with that. But the real caffeine actually changes the field. So we don't want that because we want this beautiful, clear, you know, very full and thick, healthy electromagnetic field. So that's another thing. And then, of course, we know stress. Let's face it. There's a lot of stress, known and unknown, in our lives now, more than ever before, I would say. And that's an extremely big factor in terms of aging, is stress. So those would be stop the body breakdown with actually what you're thinking and doing and lifting up to your mouth. If that can be done, then you've got a big piece right there. Mm-hmm. And then the second piece is to rebuild the body. And how you do that is with certain foods. And most notably, what I find is people do a lot better as they progress in age when they have very few carbohydrates. They really limit their starches. They limit their rice or their potatoes or their bread, whatever it is. Get that weight down. There's a nice payoff. You get your waistline back. But there's also an energy payoff, and there's less cell breakdown when we have less carbohydrate, because we really don't do well in terms of blood sugar handling at a certain age. And our blood sugar handling, because of, you know, a pancreas that's been kind of stressed to the max over the years, is not responding in the way it did when we were younger. So blood sugar handling for most people that I see is an issue. And it can be anywhere from poor to fair, and it's rarely good after the age of 50. So that's important, is to cut those carbs down.
Absolutely.
So you have less carbohydrate, more vegetables, consistent protein. There's another big one for rebuilding. Oils and fats, very important, because the top of the chain for hormones is a hormone called cholesterol. And that is very dependent on fat consumption, not just cholesterol itself manufactured, but also healthy fats that are actually ingested through the diet. So using fats, using fish oils, having avocado, having nuts and seeds, that kind of thing, and the correct supplements. Now the big key here is for regeneration and repair. People say, you know what, I'm 55, I'm getting kind of draggy, my joints are stiff, and I think I'll go to the health food store and I'll get a couple of supplements. But what they're not doing is going back far enough to figure out, why are their joints stiff? Why are they draggy? And to go back into the diet and change that, and then they can get the supplements that are going to work to rebuild them instead of trying to repair them. You can't really repair with the supplements. You can rebuild, but you can repair by removing those offending factors that are doing the breakdown in the beginning. So that's sort of step two, is building up. And then, of course, you know, wonderful exercise that's not jar-jolting. You know, you look at people. It's interesting. I've got a friend. She's 57, and she is now, for the first time, she's done a lot of running and hurdling and that kind of thing, entering what would be termed a decathlon. A decathlon, I believe, is 10 different things that you do. You swim, you bike, you walk, you know, climb up the side of a hill, you do all this stuff. And I'm thinking, what in the name of Peter and Paul is this girl doing? Where is her brain that she's not, you know, saying, don't you think we can maybe lie this down here now that we're 57? And I'm not saying that there aren't people at 57 who are extremely healthy and robust and can continue to do running and all that, and possibly she's one of them. But what I find over and over is that we need to have more moderate exercise, definitely exercise, but moderate, like swimming, walking, yoga, stretching, that kind of thing, and deeper breathing, you know, breathing more deeply, instead of this crazy, you know, jar-jolting stuff. And that also is very enhancing and will be supportive and bring back, you know, cellular regeneration and repair. And then also to include meditation and to include this very important element in this particular chapter, which would be termed the element of what would be termed surrender, you know, to move into meditation and just sort of let everything go and go into that, you know, very quiet place and go into surrender. Because at this point in life, I think we've understood that we have no control. We can change the things that we can change, but a lot of things are beyond our level of control. And we can control things we think when we're younger, and we do try in our 20s, 30s, and 40s. And then as we move into the 50s, which is the true adulthood, we find we have less control. And then in the 60s, we have even less interest in control.
Absolutely.
And we're more interested in, say, contemplating a flower or a hummingbird or just the magic of a sunrise than we really are in controlling, you know, the way our business is going, our career is going, or the lives of our children. We have a better recognition of that, and I think that just sort of comes in this particular chapter. So there's lots more to it, but those are a few things on stopping the body breakdown and rebuilding a little bit.
Well, and you know, and I know for myself, when I am doing a reading on someone and they drink coffee, and they drink large quantities of coffee and the full leaded stuff, as I call it, one of the things that I've learned is that it shows up just dramatically in the auric field.
Yeah.
And I've even, you know, seen that if you have a good leaded cup of Joe in the morning with those big, you know, Venti size or whatever we get, because we're now supersizing, I have found that it takes 48 hours for just one cup of the caffeine
to clear.
And if we're drinking 5-6 cups a day and everything, we really are taxing our body from the standpoint of being able to purge and cleanse and everything else. So what you said as far as, you know, the caffeine, anybody that has any kind of fibroids in any way, one of the first things the doctor will tell you is you need to get off of caffeine.
That's right. Well, the fibroids, you know, the dairy products and the caffeine can contribute to breast lumps, lumps and cysts under the skin, and fibroids. It's very interesting.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, again, we have to kind of look at what we eat. And then second of all, and I'm going to take a quick commercial break, but the next part of it is we look at all the things that you eat. As far as all the carbohydrates, there's so much talk about not as much protein. We're turning to more carbohydrates and so forth. And looking at that, but then also looking at your lifestyle, like Caroline was saying, you know, with the running part, I think the greatest part of this aging process is all the things that were important to control. It's almost like you wake up one day and it's like you realize you can't control anything. So, well, I want to thank you. Caroline's going to stay on the line with me. Thank all of you for all the stuff that she's sharing with you. I'm going to be right back. We're going to talk some more about Caroline's book, The Body Knows How to Stay Young. She's sharing just a wealth of information for us, and so I'm looking forward to coming right back. I hope you'll stay with me and come back also. Thank you very much.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the hosts and for others.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Well, welcome back, and thank you again for joining me. Very special guest today, Caroline Sutherland, a fellow medical intuitive and also the author of a great book, The Body Knows How to Stay Young, and other books that she mentioned in the first segment. For any of you that are just joining me, if you want to go back and listen to the first part of the show, you can always do that in my archives on contacttalkradio.com. Very, very exciting. And she's going to be sharing some more of the things that we can do. We looked at caffeine. We looked at, you know, some good common sense. We looked at sugar. We looked at carbohydrates. But, you know, this time I'm going to ask her a little bit about, you know, how are we doing as a society? But before I go back into it, I'd like to invite you to join me August 27th at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. That's 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time for my Your Health teleclass. The topic of this August show is going to be multiple sclerosis, MS, and I'm going to be sharing some of the hidden contributors around it. And then I know when I was looking at Caroline and some of the work she was doing, she actually had some early warning signs, so we're going to talk about that, Caroline. But if you'd like to be able to join me, it's a one-hour teleclass. I'll be sharing how I see it as a medical intuitive, some of the hidden psychological factors behind it, and then also mapping it in the chakras, the role of personality, and then sharing some of the different alternative choices that we have. Again, my background is more in just kind of peeling back the layers, and if you would like to be able to find the important role that diet supplements and the things that you can change, I know from my work as a medical intuitive, MS can be treated very, very effectively through diet and supplement change. It's a tremendous tool to be able to have. The second event I'd like to invite you to is to invite you to join me for my Level 1 Personality Training. It's going to be in Minneapolis, Minnesota, September 16th and 17th. We're going to be talking about personality, and if you've ever had a passion for understanding what makes people tick and why they do the things they do, then you might want to consider being certified using my personality assessment, because you'll know how to administer it, how to interpret it, and then how to use the information to help people see themselves through the eyes of who they really are. But more importantly, you'll have the joy in being able to watch these people as these epiphanies go off, and it's like, no wonder I never fit. No wonder I can't get along with that person. No wonder this is happening to me. No wonder I don't like this job or the tasks that are around it. So anyway, it's a very exciting, very heartfelt reward to be able to do the work in personality. You can use it in your private practice, a healing practice, even if you are a corporate trainer or an in-house trainer, you can use it at work. So if you'd like to find out more about my Level 1 Personality Certification Training, I invite you to go to my new website, whatcolorisyourpersonality.com, all one word, and you'll find the information there. Again, it's September 16th and 17th. So I'm going to jump right in, Caroline, before I invite you on, and I want to reiterate that you've got a medical intuitive class coming up October 16th, 17th, and 18th. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us. How can they find out about this class?
Yes, they can go onto my website, carolinesutherland.com, under events, and I teach this training once a year in Bellingham, Washington. Bellingham is voted the seventh most desirable city in the United States to, if you can believe it, retire to. But it is also a beautiful, beautiful oceanfront city. And so we do the training up here, which is in our neck of the woods. People come from all over the world, and I teach them how to look at bodies and how to discern what might be out of balance in that body. And a lot of people come from various backgrounds, lay people, who have an interest. And in a three-day weekend, they really do learn that ability to be able to tune in. We use photographs a lot of family members for them to start tuning into. We do healing cases where they can be given, each person can be given a case or someone at a distance, and they start to be able to tap into that person at a distance. So it's a very comprehensive training, and we do give continuing education credits. CEUs for both licensed massage therapists and registered nurses, but it's not just open to them, it's open to everybody.
And you know what I love about the work? When we're in the process, a lot of people will come to your classes and they probably think that it's going to be something that they're going to be using with other people, and lo and behold, after a few minutes in the class, it's like, oh my gosh, I can really learn a lot about me, isn't it?
Well, what's really neat is once people start doing this for themselves, and I'm sure it's very like your work too, they start, as you say, sitting around the kitchen table, and they start looking, and they start discerning, and they grab a pen, and they write things down, and they ask questions, and it just pops out. And that's what I love is, you know, when you look at health and healing, and you look at the human body, if we have the gift of insight or intuition, and we really hone that gift and that skill, the information just pops out. You can see it, not just on a level that's in front of your eyes, but it's behind your eyes. And it's very evident and very teachable.
It is. And, you know, the interesting thing is I thought it was so fascinating because each one of us, we know, both you and I and everyone, that we really are intuitive. And our intuition speaks to us in different ways.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so fascinating that you talked about being able to smell candida because that was the topic. But, you know, one of the scents that we really don't necessarily place value on or think about when we're doing intuitive work, we see the visions and we, you know, get these shudders and things in the body. But that sense of smell is just tremendous in what it can tell us and how the intuition comes forward. So very, very exciting. So any of you who have been considering wanting to do medical intuitive work, please do go to Caroline's website, check out her training and everything. And I'm sure that you will, not only in the process of learning how to work with other people and heal them, and being a catalyst for their healing, you're going to find a lot of information you can use yourself. When I was looking at your write-up and everything, it says 25 years ago at age 39, you were treated for the early warnings of MS. I don't know, Caroline, if you are seeing this, but I am seeing a tremendous rise of MS. Are you?
Well, I think it's labeled when it gets to that point, but I think there's a ton of people out there with pre-MS conditions.
Absolutely.
Very definitely.
Absolutely. And you know, that's the thing. If we really went in and we connected with our body and our body knows, and everything that you talked about as far as diet and sugar and carbohydrates and, you know, all of those things being acidic weaken the immune system. And we know that MS is part of an immune system syndrome that takes place with it. And so all of the things that you talked about, there are so many underlying things that we could really stop that process from ever happening.
You know what's really interesting? When you talk about this yeast syndrome, and that's taking us back to that comment a little bit, but if you look at all the major diseases, from lupus to MS to chronic fatigue to Epstein-Barr to cancer to AIDS to Alzheimer's, they all have that yeast syndrome in back of their symptom profile.
They do.
So if we go in and we start working with and eradicating and controlling candida yeast, well, you know what? A lot of these big label diseases will start to back off.
Exactly, and also, so all of you listeners know, it's literally a chain reaction. When you get acidic and you get out of balance in the pH in your intestine, which is the perfect storm, as I call it, for candida, then that creates a pH imbalance in the immune system. It becomes weak, and it creates a pH balance and imbalance in the blood and then the cerebrospinal fluid, and then it literally can go systemic. And so there's kind of that whole autoimmune situation. Like you said, if we could see that so much of what we're experiencing in the health and well-being of our body is autoimmune system related, we could certainly go back and, you know, just finer changes. Like Caroline shared in the first segment is, you know, we have to look at the bigger picture. You know, we have to kind of become in tune with ourselves, and we don't want to get that big cancer scare or that big other scare. We can do so much in between. Some of the things that I found so fascinating in your book, and, you know, in so many ways in the United States and stuff, we have so much abundance. We have such a plethora of food that we're able to use. But in many ways, we really aren't aging very healthy, are we, Caroline?
No, we aren't. As a society, we really don't have that many role models for aging well. And one of the reasons, of course, is the fact that we're not placing enough focus on hormone balancing. Hormones start to decline for some people in their 30s, but certainly in their 40s and definitely in their 50s. And we need to really take a good look and integrate hormone balancing into a healthy lifestyle plan. And I think that's one of the ways that we can stay healthy for a long, long time when we have hormone balance, especially natural hormone balance. So the people that we see that are walking along the street in walkers and wheelchairs and looking in various states of decrepitude, really a lot of it is related to, well, diet, of course, yes, and lifestyle and stress, and a lot of people are undergoing huge stresses and upheavals, both economically and indeed in any way. But people really do need to look at this hormone level, and that can help tremendously with keeping you on the plus side of the aging.
Well, and I know from some of the teleclasses that you've had and mm-hmm. some of the events that you've had, the bioidenticals, and, yeah. you know, anytime anything enters in, there's going to always be the skepticism around it, and there's certainly testing that can be done so people have an accurate read. But the bottom line of it is that hormone balance is, it's part of the natural, you know, creation, growth, maturation cycle of just cells themselves.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that bioidenticals are just estrogen and progesterone, and maybe you throw in a little testosterone. But they're really so much more, aren't they?
Well, you see, you have to do it very conservatively.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to do the big piece, which is to detoxify estrogen, because now we have really an estrogen-dominant or estrogen-driven society. Because there is so much xenoestrogen or estrogen mimickers in the food chain now. So people are actually ingesting estrogen. Mm-hmm. And so we want to detoxify that estrogen that comes through those sources and possibly, if warranted through testing, replace estrogen. And, you know, estrogen is very, you know, memory is very dependent on the of having a required or a reasonable amount, or whatever you might want to say, the full quotient of estrogen is important for memory. So, you know, when you look at Alzheimer's patients, about 70% of Alzheimer's patients are women, and 70% of all women are deemed estrogen dependent. In other words, they need to have estrogen for memory and energy and that sort of thing. So, you know, people need to look at this, and if we have declining memory, it's not just, oh, well, isn't that interesting, our memory's going down, isn't that amusing? It's not amusing. We need to get on it, and there's parts of this that the person can do by themselves, which is clean up their gut, you know, tighten up and heal that digestive tract wall so that these neurotoxins or toxins are not finding their way into the brain, and then also to be looking at hormone balancing. So I think that's a big piece of why we're aging as rapidly as we are, and also we have a very different kind of a lifestyle that doesn't really respect the aging person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look at other countries that have an aging population, those elders have, you know, a certain amount of respect in the culture, and yet here in the West, it's a very youthful culture, and we're basically considered, you know, to be the throwaway. At a certain point, you know, we don't have healthy skin and we're sagging a little bit here and there, and, you know, maybe our hair is gray. Well, that's it. You're done. You know, exit stage left.
No, that is so true, because, you know, the thing with the elders, not only do they have the kind of the history under their belt and the wisdom and everything, but as elders, we need to have a purpose and we need to be needed. And so many of the cultures around the world really place those elders in a place where they are needed, and they're a significant part of the whole family unit or the whole cultural unit. And we find that there's longer longevity in those situations. And again, like you say, we kind of have reached a place that, you know, this youth-based mentality that we have is, you know, we're really quite unique if you really look at us from compared to most of the world, aren't we?
But we have all these opportunities.
Absolutely.
You look at people in other countries. I mean, I look at people in Europe. I get calls all the time from Denmark and Sweden and France and Britain, they don't have access to bioidentical hormone practitioners the way we do here. So we're very, very lucky in what we have available to us here. However, it's just small seeds. You know, seeds are starting. It's like a little voices here and there in the wilderness about, you know, what to do to stay young. And there are, you know, a lot of resources for us. Mm-hmm. But people have to make the commitment. They have to say, I want to be healthy. I want to stay on the planet. I don't want to be kept alive through drugs and surgery. So what are the steps that I need to take? And that's the part that's just slowly, you know, building steam. And that's because people are now, as you said, every 8 seconds they're turning 50. And so people are aging, you know, by the second. And so therefore they're starting to research and look. It's not in the numbers that I'd like to see, but I think within the next 5 to 10 years, I think we'll see a lot more people looking very healthy and wonderful right throughout their lives. And let's hope that we are prepared to do that, both financially and physically, that we have the wherewithal and the resources to be able to have that healthy lifestyle right up until our little candle blows out in the wind.
Absolutely. And, you know, I always have always said to everybody, your soul chose this body. It's its celestial vehicle. And, you know, it runs on high octave, meaning that good food and, you know, good energy and good chi, whatever you want to call it. And if you're putting regular in, it's going to have a hard time getting where it needs to go. And so in the metaphor, one of the things also is the notion of destiny as part of the book. We really, the body is so exquisite from the standpoint that it is a self-repairing or self-generating mechanism. And it, no matter what we seem to do, it seems to keep on trying to go back to what it's designed to do. We just need to help it, don't we?
Well, it's that whole idea of homeostasis. The body wants to go back to its natural place, which is to repair. And all we do is grab, you know, the wet noodle of the stick and keep beating it back, saying, no, we don't want you to repair. We want you to die, you know. But, you know, I've had a near-death experience. I think you know that from my
book.
Yes,
I do.
And what was kind of an amazing experience was to go to that other level of existence. That other level of existence is there all the time. It's not like you're going to another place. It's just a different level. It's a different layer.
Exactly.
And I got to see what it was like when we moved from one plane to the next. It was very, very interesting. It was very clear that everything mattered, that our thoughts had weight and had importance. And what we did on this plane of existence did matter on the next plane of existence, and that our thoughts were literally creating not only our world, but the whole world. And when you think of wars and uprisings and things that are happening in countries beyond our borders, we think they're very random and chaotic, and, you know, they just sort of, these things just sort of appear and happen. But no, it was clear to me, it was shown to me that everything was orchestrated, and that our thoughts literally, as we, you know, speak at this moment, are creating our world, either here, right in front of us in our own towns and own communities, or at the other side of our world. And so I found that extremely interesting. And that what we were here to do was to become conscious, to wake up and to become conscious and aware that we were physical beings co-creating always, all the time, with spirit. And to galvanize and to align ourselves with this spiritual vibration and energy and continue to co-create hand in hand with the divine.
I know. It is a marvelous thing. Well, Caroline, I want to thank you so much. It has been a wonderful show. We're going to have you back because I know my listeners are going to love what they have you have to say. I know you have teleclasses. You have your medical intuitive training that's in. You have a lot of wonderful books and cookbook. I know I use that one all the time as far as your body knows, the cookbook, diet book and everything. It's just phenomenal. I thank you so much. And so if you want to know more, it's CarolineSutherland.com. And I wish you well, my friend, and we're going to have you back. It's been a great show. Thanks for joining me today.
It's been great, Carol. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. And I want to thank all of you as listeners for joining me today and being a part of this, and you know, happy healing to all of you, and I look forward to seeing you next week on the radio. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and you have a wonderful week. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to the Carol Reitberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.